Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kama Daf Samach Beis. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a specially marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin 10 lines from the top. Before we get into the Gemara itself, just a general note that as we begin this year, the amount that we learn might continue till Samach Gimel Amud Beis, the second line from the top. Even though we're learning in a Daf Yomi context, at the end of this shiur, I should say in the middle of Daf Samach Beis, we end up beginning a new perek, the seventh perek, and the line of reasoning and discussion is such that it cannot be broken up in the middle. There's one basic trend of thought that will continue till the top of Samach Gimel Amud Beis. So for Daf Yomi purists, we'll have to try to accommodate you, Mirtz Hashem, at the beginning of our Daf Samach Gimel Shir, and note where the Samach Gimel Amud Aleph began as far as the recording. All that having been said, we have a topic heading in our margin, which reads Nitirusa de Kesef Kibalti Atzmi Velo Shel Zahav. We'll see a case where an item was entrusted, a coin was entrusted to a woman, and while entrusting it to her, the owner said, be careful with the silver that I am entrusting to you. So in actuality, it was a gold coin, but the woman received it thinking that it was silver. And she, at a certain point in the discussion, can respond if something happens to it, you should realize I accepted myself only the responsibility for watching something that's silver, which is worth much less than gold. So that a person will, depending on the value of the item that they think they are receiving, they will watch it with that respective or relative level of diligence. Now the Gemara. Omar Rava, he makes a point, last number of lines. Hanoisei dinar zahav leisha, a man presents a gold dinar, it's a type of coin, to a woman, the Omar law, and he says to the woman, Hizaribo shel kesefu, be careful, this is silver. Two possibilities here. Hizikaso, if she proactively damages that which was entrusted to her, Mishalemes dinar zahav, she has to pay for what it actually was, the gold coin. Mishum to Omar law, the owner can say, my havet lech gabe das kesei, what was it doing by you for you to damage it? In other words, for you to proactively initiate damage on that which I entrusted, you had no business doing that, regardless of what it was. However, poshabo, if she was negligent, she didn't watch it as a guard, as a watchman ought to do it, and it got lost. That's poshabo. Poshapshia indicates negligence. Mishalemes shel kesef. Here she pays the lower rate, the silver value. The Omra Le, she says to the owner, Nitirusa de Kaspo Kabili Olai. Nitirusa means guarding, the watching or guarding of Kesef, of silver, I accepted upon myself. Nitirusa de Davalo Kabili Olai, I didn't accept upon myself to be extremely diligent in watching at the level of watching that gold would demand. Omale Rav Mordechi Rav Ashi. Rav Mordechi says to Rav Ashi, Atun b'derova masnisu la, that which we just said, you teach in the name of Rava Anan, mi masnisa pshitalon. We, says Rav Mordechai, derive that point from the Braisa that we had above. We saw this at the end of our previous year. We have a little arrow to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can align it with the arrow above. What did we learn there? Chitin v'chipon besorin. A person had invited someone to bring into his domain a pile of wheat grain, and he covered it with a layer of barley. Barley is worth less than wheat. Alternatively, sorin v'chipon bechitin. He invited him to bring a pile of barley in, and he covered it with wheat. Eino mishalim elo demei sorin bilvad. If a fire consumes the guest's pile of grain, the source ruled you pay only sa'urin. We have a point that we'd like to look at in Rashi. Rashi, a little more than halfway down, sa'urin, you invited him to bring in sa'urin, and he did, but v'chipon v'chitin, and he covered it with a layer of wheat. Noisein lo rishus lehagdish sorin velo chitin. He had given him permission to bring into the domain barley, not wheat. So the Gemara concludes, and this is what Rav Mordechai says, we learn from this source that ruled that all that you have to pay for is sorin, which is the barley rate, the lower rate. Alma, we see from here, Omar Le, the guard, in this case the host of that property, says, you know, I invited you to bring in sorin. You might have coated it with chitin, but netiruso desairi kabili olai. I accepted upon myself the watching of sorin, to extend myself in a limited fashion, which is characteristic of guarding the cheaper barley. So, and by the way, in the source we read, and we pointed this out at the end of our previous shiur, owner of the fire in whose domain this this consumption took place, he benefits from all leniencies, we'll say. In the case that he was invited him to bring in chitim and coated it with sorim, the owner of the fire says, well, all I saw was barley. And alternatively, where he invited him to bring in barley and covered it with chitim, the owner says, I invited you to bring in only barley. So either we look at what the owner, the guard who owns the property, what he sees. If he sees barley, that's all he'll pay for, or he can benefit from what he invited him to bring in barley. The fact that the owner of the grain covered it with a layer of chitim, that's not going to obligate the owner of the fire anymore. So what's the principle that we see here? We see that the shomer, the guard, who the owner of the property, the one invited in, says, the timusa desired, I accepted upon myself only the lower level of watching, which would be appropriate for sorim. Hacha nami, omrole, so too above. In the case of the woman, omrole, she says to the fellow who presented her with the coin, the tirusa de davalo kabilila, I didn't accept upon myself the level of watching that one would accord to being entrusted with gold. Omar Rav, Shamis Milsa l'Rebbe Yehuda, I heard something according to Rebbe Yehuda of the Mishnah, v'lo yadano mayhi, and I don't know what that was. In other words, something was taught according to Rebbe Yehuda. Rebbe Yehuda is the opinion that was Mechayev Tomun Be'esh. And Rav says, I heard something, but I don't know what it was. Omar Shmuel Veloyoda Abo. Abo is the name of Rav. Shmuel calls him by his name. They were colleagues. Shmuel says, and Abo, namely Rav, Lo yada avo my shmi alei. Does a Rav not know what he heard? My shmi alei l'Rabbi Yehuda. The mechayev al nizkei tomun be'esh. I'll tell you what it was. Asu takonas nigzal be'isho. Rashi, toward the end of the Rashi commentary, he says, Osu takonas nigzal be'isho. Isho is fire, his fire. Ki hechi detiknu rabbonan l'nigzal. Just like the rabbonan made a special allowance for someone who was the victim of theft. Lishova kama gozlu v'yitol. If someone claims that he has, things were stolen from him, the rabbonan say, you have a right to swear how much was stolen and collect. There are those that we, that contrary to what we'll say is the Torah approach to vows, or to, I should say, to oaths, is one swears to achieve exemption from paying. In other words, one would swear on a Torah level, I swear that I am not chayav, I'm not obligated. The rabbis introduced oaths that entitle the one who swears to swear and then collect. And that's what this is a reference to. Elu nishboyen, they swear, venotlim, and take and collect. Hasochir has to do with an employee, and vanigzal. Kach tiknu be'esho, shishova mahitmin vital. What the relevance of this to us is that, so too in the case of someone who was the whose property was destroyed through fire, and what did Rav Yehuda say? The things that are hidden in, that are hidden within or covered, what was in, we used the example before of the pile of grain, what was hidden in that pile of grain? So there's a takona, and this is the halacha that Rav didn't recall, but Shmuel said that they made this rabbinic allowance that the owner of the pile can swear as to what was in the pile and collect. It's referred to by the term takonas nigzal. That's the, say, the precedent. The one who was the victim of theft can swear what was stolen from him. Likewise here, the owner of the pile of grain can swear what he had hidden in the pile of grain. The Gemara asks a question. It lasts a couple of lines. And we have a topic heading here. Takonas nigzal. We mentioned already betomun, we discussed that already, and bemoiser. Moiser is someone who hands over property owned by Jews to the Gentile idol worshiper authorities. You know, so we can call him a squealer, someone who tells the government about a fellow Jew's property. You know, if you want to see some property, you'll go take his property. There's quite a bit more to say on the topic of Moser. It's, by the way, considered a very, very severe offense. The Chazal have what to say about that in several places throughout the Shas. For our purposes, let's focus on what happened. Someone's property was taken away because of a moser. Moser literally means to give over. Someone squealed on him. So, boy ameimar, osu takonas nigzal b'mosur olo. Do we have this special allowance for the victim of the mesira to swear what was taken away from him? So there are two opinions that we have to deal with. Alibo demandomar lo dainino dina de garmi lo tiboyaloch. The mesiris nami lo daininon. There are forms of damage that the offender does not physically cause the damage. Through him, damage or loss results, but it's not that he physically caused the damage. What we just described is called garmi. It's very similar to the word groma, someone who is causative, but not the direct source of the damage. There's a difference between the two terms, though, groma and garmi, and that's discussed extensively by the various commentaries. For our purposes, though, this situation, or this type of damage, where there was intent to cause damage, but the offender didn't commit the damage physically, do we in the courts prosecute someone like that? Will we charge them? Will we obligate them to compensate? So there's one school of thought that we just read. Lo dayinino dina degami. They do not judge. They don't deal with them in court. So if the court doesn't deal with the offender himself, so there's no question here about the victim. Would he be able to swear to collect? No. Says we wouldn't. That wouldn't be an issue. It wouldn't be a point of even questioning. We continue in the Gemara. Eloki tiboy aloch alibo dema domar dainil dina degami. Our question is raised according to the opinion that says that the offender himself, in a case of garmi type damage, would be prosecuted. Our question now is, asu takonas nigzal b'moser d'mishtabe v'shoki lolo. Do we have the takona, the rabbinic allowance for the victim, in the case of mesirus, of mosur, to mishtabas, to swear as to what was taken from him, and shokil and collect that from the offender, olo, or not, teku. This remains unresolved. Hahu gavro debotash bekaspiso dechavre, shadye benaro. It's a person that kicked a kaspiso. Kaspiso might be something like a safe where people store their valuables. Rashi says, toward the end of the Rashi, three lines from the end, he says, the kaspiso is argos, is a box, sheminichu b'ksofim, that people keep money in. A money box, a safety box. One had this, and someone came along and kicked it, and cast it into, shadya benar, cast it into the river. Also, more, the owner came along and said, v'yomar, hochi vochi havili begavo, I had these and these valuables in there. Yosef Ravashi v'kamayin be ki hai gav nomai. And Ravashi looked into this and deliberated, how are we to handle such a case? Amale Ravino, le Ravacho, brei de Rava. Now, the Amri, another version of the names, Ravacho, brei de Rava, said Ravashi, instead of being the one to receive the information, he is the one that's initiating it. So that he, Ravacha, says to Ravashi, well, lav hainu masnisin disnan, is this issue not in fact what we saw in our Mishnah? And what did it say in the Mishnah? Umaydim hachomim l'Rabbi Yehuda, the chachomim who generally exempted for tomun ba'esh, agreed with Rabbi Yehuda, b'madlik es habiro, when the offender lights someone's house, sets it ablaze, shemishalim kol ma shebesocho, he must compensate for everything contained within. Shekein derech b'nei adam lo niach b'vatim, it's the way of people to store all kinds of utensils and valuables in their houses. So it's not classified as the standard tomun. Omar Lay. So, if you use the second version of the names, Rav Ashi says back to Rav Acha. Just to review the point here. A question was raised about man kicking money box into river. Owner, victim saying, well, I've got these and these itemized different valuables that he had in there, and he expects compensation. The Ravashi sat and said, we have to deliberate. Then it was said to him, what's there to deliberate about? Is it not our Mishnah? So Omar Lay, so Ravashi says back, E de Katoyan Zuzi Hachanami, if the owner of the money box claims cash was in the box, then you're right, that's just like the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the bira of the house is something, is an entity in which people normally keep things. A money box, what's normally kept in a money box? Zuzi, cash. So if the victim in the money box case was saying, you know, in the money box I have this and this amount of cash, so we would go with, we'll believe him, and his claim will be accepted. Hacha, but what's not clear, the case is the ka toin margimisamai. The owner of the money box, which was kicked into the river, says, I had a marganisa. A marganisa might be a pearl or a gem in that box. Mi manti inchi marganisa bekaspisa olo. And here, I used the expression, or the example before of a safe. That's not a good example over here. Here will be, stick to the literal reading. The kaspis from Lord Kesef is a money box. Do people keep pearls in money boxes or not? Teku. So this remains unresolved. Omar le Rav Yemar le Rav Ashi. Ta'in kosu de kaspo bebiro mai. A person's house was set ablaze, and he claims that within his house he had a silver goblet. Is that something that he can lay claim to from the offender, the one who lit the fire? Amalei. So Ravashi says, Chazina, we evaluate, we literally look at this. And here we have several stages of analysis that we've highlighted with a double underline. So it says, "E inish omidhu." If the victim of this blaze, the owner of the house, was a man of omid, omid means a man of means, a man of wealth. The isle kosa the kaspa, that you would expect him, yes, to have a silver goblet in his possession. Inami, another possibility, inish mehem nohu, a very trustworthy individual, the mifkidi inchi gabei, that people would entrust their valuables to him. Mishtaba vishokil, he can swear. We mentioned before this takonas nigzal beish. So, and here we're dealing with the lighting of a house, so we would say, yes, you could swear and collect the cost of a silver goblet. The elo, if he's neither a man of means nor a man of exceptional trustworthiness, lav kol kamine. It's not with him. It's not within his power to make claims of such expensive items. Omer le Rav Ado Brei de Rav Avyo le Rav Ashi. Ma bein gazlon lechamson. What's the difference between these two kinds of offenders? These are terms that we hear from time to time. Gazlan is a very common expression, has to do with a thief, and the term chamson also has to do with forced taking of things. What's the difference between them? Omale, chamson yoev domi. A chamson is someone that will forcibly take something, but pay for it. They'll throw money at the owner while forcibly taking his item. Gazlan lo yoev domi. The gazlan is a standard thief, and he does not pay. Omar le, so he asks, Yoyev domi chamson koris le. If the man paid money for it, you call him a chamson. A chamson is a very derogatory term. It's a very, it describes a wicked individual. But if he pays money for it, you call him a chamson. Omar Rav Huna. Rav Huna, he says in Maseches Bava Basra, Talua v'zoven, zvine zvine. If a person here literally was hung to force him to sell, and he, under duress, a man sells under duress. That means he gives the item to the oppressive figure, and the oppressive figure gives him money. It's a good sale. So, it's a sale. Okay, even though the surrounding circumstances weren't so pleasant. Nevertheless, it's a good sale. Why would you refer to him, someone who forcibly takes something but pays for it? Why would you call him a chamson? Lo, Kasha. There's a difference between what Rav Huna was describing and what we refer to as a chamson. Ha, Dioma Roitzani. In the case of Rav Huna, the man who was put under duress says, yes, I agree, I want to make this sale. He wants to make the sale to spare himself from the pressure that he's being subjected to. But nevertheless, he does say, Rotsani, I want. Ha de lo oma Rotsani. The chamson is where he doesn't express his agreement. We continue now at the Gemara on top of Omid Beis, where we have a new Mishnah. We continue with matters of fire damage. The Mishnah at the top of Omid Beis gets a spark, shiyotso mitachas hapatish, that is emitted from under the impact of a hammer, the hizik, and the spark ignites something and causes damage, chayav. So the offender has to pay. The continuation of this Mishnah is that which we've seen already in the past, and as far as the contents of the Gemara, also we have seen this in the past. Gomel shehoyaton pishton, a camel that was carrying, was laden with flax. Flax are a reed-like plant that they're quite long. The Omar b'shusha rabim, and the camel was passing through a public domain. V'nichnas pishton l'soicha chanus, and the tip of the pishton, the end of the pishton, entered one of the stores along the public domain. V'dolku b'nero shel chenvoni, and it started burning on the as a result of the candle, the nair, the candle of the store owner, and as a result of the burning flax and the camel and its movements, v'hidlik asabira, and it caused a fire there on one of the properties, one of the houses of the public domain that means located along the public domain. Baal gomol chayov, the owner of the camel must compensate. He acted irresponsibly by piling up so much pishton, and such long pishton on his camel, so much so that it would end up getting into the end, reaching into the store of people along the way. Hiniach chenvoni neiro mibachutz. If, however, the candle responsible for the pishton going ablaze was a result of a candle that the chenvoni that the store owner put outside his shop, ha chenvoni chayav. That's irresponsible on the part of the chenvoni to keep his candle outdoors. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'ner Chanukah poter. If the spoken of candle that was outdoors was the candles of the Chanukah holiday, the mitzvah of Chanukah, and the same happened, and the flax caught ablaze and caused damage, poter, there would be exemption. The Gemara opens up with a long point, and as far as the topic is concerned, we will discuss the Ner Chanukah needing to be within 10 tfochim of the floor. In other words, at a height of 10 tfochim off the floor. Omar Ravina Mishmei Derava Shma Mina Mide Reb Yehuda. We can conclude from Reb Yehuda, who mentioned the exemption in the case of Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah mitzvah l'anicha b'soch asora. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is to have it placed within 10 tfachim of the ground, of the floor. The Yisaka Daitach l'mala me'asora, if one were to think that you can fulfill the mitzvah above 10 tfachim, having the Chanukah menorah more than 10 tfachim off the ground, amai om Reb Yehuda ner Chanukah poter. Why does Reb Yehuda offer an exemption in the case of the owner of the ner Chanukah left outside? Lay ma lay, let the victim say to the owner of the ner Chanukah, have lay lanucha lamalo migomo verochbo. You should have placed your Chanukah menorah at a height off the ground higher than a camel and the one riding it. Elola, from the fact that the victim doesn't have that claim. Shma mino, mitzvah nicha besoch asora. We see from here that the mitzvah, the commandment, is to keep it within 10 tfachim of the ground, which, of course, enabled the damage to take place, but the owner of the fire of the Ner Chanukah is not responsible because he had no choice. That's where he had to keep it. So we see from here what was said in the name of Rava, that the mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah is limited. Otherwise, limited in terms of height off the ground. Otherwise, the victim could have claimed compensation from the Ner Hanukkah owner. The Gemara rejects this, though. Amri, we respond to this and reject it. Lo, it's not so that the Ner Hanukkah must be within 10 tefachim. I will tell you in general, it can be above 10 tefachim as well. My Amri, so what are you going to say? If that's really so, if that was an option, does then the victim not have the claim? You should have put your Hanukkah menorah above the camel and its rider. No. Even so, even though there's halachic flexibility regarding the height off the ground for the Hanukkah menorah, that doesn't entitle the victim to this claim. Kevon de b'mitzvah ka'osik, since the person is involved with performing a mitzvah. And here I think there's a very deep message. Person is involved in the doing a mitzvah. Kulei haylo atshuchu rabbanan. The rabbanan don't burden him, don't trouble him that much to put the Hanukkah menorah so high. It's much more convenient. It's easy to put it 10 tefachim off the ground, but to trouble him because of these safety precautions, to trouble him to put it higher, since the man's involved with a mitzvah, we don't burden him so much to exercise such excessive cautiousness. Om Rav Kahana, Dorosh Rav Nosson Bar Menyumi, Mishmei de Rebbe Tanchum. The following was taught in the name of Rebbe Tanchum. Ner Chanukah Shimicho Lamala Me Esrim Amo Psula. Ner Chanukah that's placed more than 20 amos off the ground is rejected, is unfit, is disqualified. Kesuka ukemavui, just like in the case of sukkah, a sukkah structure whose schach, the branch covering the covering of the sukkah, often it's used when people use tree branches or wood or whatever that's kosher for schach, but it's placed more than 20 amas from the floor, is not a kosher sukkah. You're not going to notice it. By the Ner Hanukkah also, it's mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah is called Pirsumei Nisa, popularizing or publicizing the miracle. In order to publicize the miracle of Hanukkah, you have to see the Hanukkah candles. People do not notice things more than 20 amos off the ground. And Kemovui is a reference to a detail in Hilchus Shabbos concerning I think the term is a cul-de-sac. It's a type of, it's a street that, it's not a through street. It's a dead end, if you will, a dead end alleyway that on a Torah level you can carry in the Mavui on Shabbos because it's surrounded on three sides by rows of houses. However, since it's a public type domain, people can confuse it with a public thoroughfare, and there's a halachic requirement to have a beam going across the top of the mavui at the entranceway. There's an alternative called a lechi, but that's not the focus of this discussion. The beam going across the top is called a korah. It has to be placed within 20 amos of the ground. If it's more than 20 amos off the ground, people will not notice it. And the purpose of that beam is to create this sense of recognition and not to carry from the public domain into the mavui and vice versa. So it's important for it to be noticeable for Hilchus Shabbos purposes. Hence these three halachas, Ner Hanukkah, Sukkah, and Mavui, have in common the 20 amo restriction. As you can see, with the help of the one above, we concluded the sixth perek, and now, without any further ado, we go into the seventh perek, Perek Merubah of Bava Kamma. The topic heading, we offer a very brief general topic heading. We call it Tashlum Kefel V'Dalid V'Hei, the obligation to pay double. The classic case of having to pay double is in a case of theft, stealthful theft, as opposed to a person who steals in broad daylight. Someone who steals stealthily, we call him a ganav. If he's caught, he has to pay the principal plus one, meaning double the amount that he stole. If the item stolen was, let's say, a sheep or an ox, so and then the thief he sold it to someone else, or he slaughtered it, then multiple payment of four or five is made. In other words, you have your basic kefel twice, and then if it's a sheep that was stolen, so he'll and then subsequently sold, he pays another two times. So you have your basic kefel for the theft, and then two more times for having sold it or slaughtered it. That's what we call four times. And five times, that's when an ox is stolen. He pays the basic kefel that we call, that's twice the value. The principal plus one, that's twice the value, plus three times the value because of the subsequent sale or slaughtering. All of these points are accounted for in the Psukim of the Torah. Now the Mishnah. Meruba midas tashlumei kefel mi midas tashlumei arba v'chamisha. Greater is the application of kefel, greater, more common. You'll see what we mean by that later, but greater is the application or more common of the payment of kefel mi midas tashlumei arba v'chamisha than the circumstances in which you will find the payment of four or five. Shemidas tashlumei kefel noheges bein bedover sheish bo ruach chayim bein bedover she'ein bo ruach chayim. The payment of double applies to things that have yesh bo ruach chayim, means they have the breath of life in them, animals, and kefel applies to inanimate objects as well. If a thief steals someone's cup, he has to pay kefel for stealing the cup. The payment of four or five applies only to an ox or a sheep. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, ki yignov ish shor oiseh utvachoi oy mechoro. Pasuk describes the theft of an ox or a sheep, and then he slaughters it or sells it. Then you find those multiple payments of four or five, but you don't find that for the theft of an inanimate object and its subsequent sale. That won't raise the payment beyond kefel. Ein hagonev achar haganov mishalem tashlumei kefel. If a person stole from a thief, he does not pay kefel. The pasuk says, the gunav mibeis ho'ish, the pasuk that speaks about paying double speaks about the item stolen from the house of the owner, not stolen from the thief. V'lo hatoveach v'lo hamocher achar haganov mishalem tashlumei arba v'chamisha. Likewise, the payments in four or five, someone who took something from a thief and slaughtered it, or he sold it, he had taken it from a thief and then sold it, those will not result in the payments of four and five. The topic heading that we have for the Gemara here on the side under the Nosei reads, Haim Dalit Vehei Noheg Betoein Tainas Ganov. So the payments of four or five have application to a guard, a shomer. Imagine a shomer chinam. He's been asked to watch something gratis. He's not paid. Chino means for free. He's offering his services for free, not for pay. In general, if an item is stolen from a thief, from a shomer, a guard like that, it's either stolen or lost. He is exempt. He does not have to compensate the owner. Not so in the case of a paid watchman. There he does bear responsibility for theft and loss. Now we have a shomer chinam who he's watching for nothing and claims that an item was stolen. That's called tayin tainas ganav. He makes the claim that it was stolen, and later on it turns out that it's in his possession. Witnesses testify that the watchman still has it. It turns out that he's lying. So it's almost as if he is the thief. When that happens, when it's discovered that he lied, that he himself had it, after having sworn that it was stolen, trying to get off the hook with a claim that ordinarily would get you off the hook, because he's only a shomer chinam, and it turns out that he has it, does he pay kefel? So the Gemara points out v'ilu midas tashlumi kefel noyheges bein beganev bein betoyentaynes ganev. In contrasting kefel with the 4 or 5 payment, no mention is made of this difference. That kefil applies not only to ganav, but applies to tayin tainas ganav. Umidas tashlumi arba v'chamisha eino noyheges ela beganav bilvad lo katoni. The Mishnah doesn't teach that as a point of contrast. That kefil applies to tayin tainas ganav. 4 or 5 doesn't apply to tayin tainas ganav. Well, with that observation in mind, this observation will end up supporting Reb Chiya Bar Abba's teaching. Before we go any further, under the Mivneh heading on the side, a diamond is featured. We will see in the Gemara Shnei Lishonis two versions Biach Reb Chiya Bar Abba regarding his opinion. Shesoiver the Dalit Vehei Noheg Gam Betoyen Tainas Ganav. He holds that. I should say that Kefel and Dalit Vehei apply to the Shomer that makes that false claim. The Lashon number 1, we have a Roman numeral number 1, that's where we say Misayele Mehamishnah, Yesh Siyo Lidvarov. There will be a support to him. And version number 2 is almost the opposite. We say, can we offer support to him from the Mishnah? In the meantime, let's review what we've said. The Mishnah speaks about a contrast between kefel and the 4 or 5 payment. But what is not said in the Mishnah is of significance to us. It doesn't say that kefel is applicable to the tayin tainas ganav, whereas 4 or 5 is not applicable to the tayin tainas ganav. So now we want to say that this, the absence of contrast, supports Reb Chiya Bar Abba. I don't think we emphasized enough one detail, and that is that there's a given that a shomer chinam that is tayin tainas ganav, and it turns out he's lying, the psukim in the Torah indicate he has to pay double. That's a given. The shomer chinam pays kefel. What about a shomer chinam that made such a claim and then sold the animal to someone else? Or he slaughtered the animal. Does he pay 4 or 5? Well, as far as our Mishnah is concerned, that was not taught as a point of contrast. So what are we to conclude? It must be then that kefel is noheg by a tayin tainas ganav, as well as tashlumei dalit vehei is noheg. The Mishnah said Tadalad Vey is not noheg by other than by these animals, but given that an animal was entrusted to a Shomer Chinam, and it was, and he claims it was stolen, so the Shomer Chinam will have to pay double. And if the Shomer Chinam happened to slaughter it, he'll have to pay 4 or 5. The Mishnah, as we said, didn't make a contrast between the Kefil and the 4 or 5. So this will support. Let's read now in the Gemara. Messiah Leila Reb Chiya Bar Abba. We're at the diamond at the end of the line. Yom Reb Chiya Bar Abba. Om Reb Yochanan. Hatayin Tainas Ganav Bikodon. Mishan Dishmei Kefil. One who was entrusted with an item and he claims that it was stolen. And here I think we'll say he was entrusted with a sheep or an ox, and he claims it was stolen, and it turns out that he made off with it himself. He pays double. Tovachu mochar mishalem tashlumei arba chamisha. If it was slaughtered or sold by that shomer, he has to pay. That shomer has to pay 4 or 5. Ika diamri, another approach. We know what Reb Chiya Bar Abba said. Can we say Lema Mesela Reb Chiya Bar Abba? Can we say that our Mishnah supports Reb Chiya Bar Abba? The Yom Reb Chiya Bar Abba and Rabbi Yochanan Atoyin Tainas Ganav Bepikodon Mishalim Tashlumei Kefel Tovachu Mochar Mishalim Tashlumei Arba V'Chamisha. Our Mishnah says that the Kefel payment, as well as the four, I should say, Reb Chiya Bar Abba tells us that the Kefel payment and the 4 or 5 payment are both applicable to the Toyein Tainas Ganav. Our Mishnah, which was making contrast between Kefel and Arba V'Chamisha, doesn't mention this particular contrast. So it must be that there is consistent obligation, a consistent guilt on the part of the Shomer or Chinam to pay the Kefel and the 4 or 5. So our Mishnah would seem to support Reb Chiya Bar Abba in its lack of citing this contrast, a contrast like this. The Gemara says no, the Mishnah cannot serve as a support to Reb Chiya Bar Abba. Mi kotoni ein bain. Does our Mishnah say ein bain, that there is no difference between Kefel and the 4 or 5 except for the case of Dover Shein Bo Ruach Chayim? Merubo Katani. It says that there is more frequency of Kefel than 4 or 5. Tana Vashira teaches one example of the greater frequency by Kefel, namely Einbo Ruachayim. And there are more differences. For example, 4 or 5. Kefel applies to a Tain Tainas Ganov, and whereas 4 or 5 does not apply to a Toyin Tainas Ganav, contrary to Reb Chiya Bar Abba. We continue in the Gemara. Shemidas Tashumi Kefel no Heges v'chulei. In our Mishnah, we pointed out that the payment of Kefel applies to animals as well as inanimate objects. Mino Hanimili Detonu Rabbonon. From where do we learn these points? We have a series of psukim that we're going to be relating to in the upcoming balance of our shiur. We've included the psukim on the side of the Gemara. I just want to point out something we mentioned earlier. The idea of kefel, paying double, you find both by a straight out, an ordinary thief, and you find it also by the shomer chinam, who claims that it was stolen and he himself made off with it. So that sources concerning the applicability of kefel are the sources for that. If you will find them not only by the thief, an actual thief, but we're going to be focusing on the parsha of the Shomer Chinam, where the Torah also speaks about kefel. On the side of the Gemara, we have written Shmois, Perichot Beis, Psukim Vav through Ches. Let's read through the Psukim just to get a flavor of what they sound like, and we'll be making references to these Psukim later in the Gemara. But Pasuk Vav says, Ki ten ish el reo kesef o kelim lishmor, person entrusted to his friend cash or vessels to be watched, v'gunav mi beiso ish, and then they are stolen, im imotze haganav yishalem shnayim. If the thief is found, so double is to be paid. Im lo imotze haganav, v'nikrav balabayas elu elohim, im lo sholach yodoy bimleches reyehu, if the ganav is not found, so the shomer, the guard, is brought to court, and he swears that he did not use the item. I'll call Dvar Pesha, and Pasuk Ches will be the focus of the opening piece of Gemara in a moment. Pasuk Ches says, I'll call Dvar Pesha, Al Shor, Al Chamor, Al Se, Al Salmo, Al Kol Avedo, Asher Yomar Ki Uze, Ad Ho Elohim Yavoy Dvar Shneem, Asher Yarshiun Elohim, Yishalim Shneem L'Re'ehu. Now, we turn to the Gemara. I know we didn't translate Pasuk Ches, but let's look at the Gemara. We're asking right now, what is the source for Kefel as applying in such a broad fashion? We said whether it's the item stolen was Yesh Bo Ruach Chaim or Ein Bo Ruach Chaim. So, Ditan Rabbanan, we're back in the Gemara, we're citing Pasuk Ches, Al Kol Dvar Pesha, on all matters of sinfulness. That is a general statement. That's called klal. We're dealing with hermeneutic laws of scriptural interpretation. In this particular instance, we're going to be describing the pasuk as a klal prat uklal setup, where the pasuk has a general expression and followed by a detailed or example section, and in turn followed again by a klal, a general expression. What does that entitle us or enable us to do by way of legal conclusions? So the pasuk opens up with the klal of al kol dvar pesha, and it goes on to say al shor, al chamor, al se, v'al samo, specific examples, an ox, a donkey, a sheep, or an article of clothing, a salma, a dress, an article of clothing, prat. Those are specifics. Akol aveda chozar v'kolal. And then in the same pasuk goes on to say, concerning all lost articles, chozar v'kolal is again a general statement. Klal uprat uklal yotadon elokeina prat. When you have a setup like this, and you want to include additional items, you're limited to what you can include. You can... Iatodon means you can't judge or logically conclude things other than are similar, similar to the stated examples. Well, what are the characteristics of the stated examples? Ma'aprat mefurosh davar hametalta v'gufa mamon. Just like the stated examples are portable and they have inherent value, afkol davar hametalta v'gufa mamon. So too, anything that has those characteristics will generate the kefel payment, the double payment that was alluded to at the end of Pasuk Ches. What's excluded? Yotsu karkois sheinon metaltelin. The Pasuk excludes land. Land is not portable. Yotsu avodim shukshuk lekarkos. Slaves are not part of this discussion. Slaves are scripturally compared to land, even though slaves happen to be portable and they're inherently have inherent value. They're nevertheless compared to land. Yotsu shtoros, we exclude documents, bills of collection. Sha'afal pi shematatlin, even though as documents they're movable, ein gufon mamon, they're not inherently valuable. They represent value. They enable you to collect, but they themselves don't have any inherent value. Yotze Hegdish, we also exclude items that were sanctified. Re'ehu Ksiv, the Pasuk speaks in terms of fellow man, commoners, not Hegdish, not something sanctified. So this Pasuk that deals with the issue of coming to be obligated to pay kefel will be only for things that are metatel and gufan mamon. We ask, Ima haprat mufurash. In the example cited, we saw a shor, chamor, and a seh, an ox, a donkey, and a sheep. If that be the case, looking at them, we say that those examples are explicitly dovar shenevelosim mitamad b'magu v'masa. Those are things that when they die, and you have these animal carcasses, they will defile, whether through contact, mago or masa, or through carrying them, through supporting them, even if you don't have literal contact with them, they're upon you. It might be on a tray or whatever, you're supporting them. That's called masa. So, af kol dover shenevelosim etamim b'magu v'masa. So, to any other creature that has that characteristic, will generate a kefel payment. Aval oifoy slo. But birds, a dead bird, does not communicate that kind of defilement. It's not metamim b'magu v'masa. So, are we to exclude birds from kefel? From the if they're stolen, the thief won't pay double. Gemara rejects that. Could you really say that to exclude birds? Well, salmoksiv. Amongst the examples cited in the pasuk was a garment. Garment doesn't have the characteristic of defilement through maga umasa, and yet it does generate kefel. So birds too stolen will generate kefel. The issue is, how can you even suggest the exclusion of birds from kefel? The Gemara responds, Amri anan bebale chayim karminon. And note that we have a question here, and it continues to the second line from the top of Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. He restates the issue, the problem concerning the birds and kefel. So he says, Amri, we say anan bebale chayim karminon. We are focusing on the issue of animals cited in the verse. Emo bebalei chayim, regarding the realm of animals, dovar shenevelosu metama b'mag v'masa in, dovar she'ein nevelosu metama b'maga uvamasa lo. But animals that don't have that characteristic will not be part of the kefel payment. Now, as far as the presence of salmo, that's not to be of concern right now. Daha, we're at the top of Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. The hakol chad v'chad klal uprat ba'ape nafshe darshinon. When you have multiple examples, like we have in this case, each pasuk, each example is evaluated in a klal uprat fashion on its own. Aval, being that we're going to darshin each one on its own, of all the animals cited, each one of the animals has that characteristic of metame b'magu masa. Havo ofos lo, but birds don't have that characteristic, so maybe they're not included in the realm of kefel. We take a look at Rashi at the top. Dokol chad v'chad klal uprat ba'anpe nafshe darshinon lei klomar. When you see klomar, you know that you have to pay careful attention to the explanation, because it's not found in the translation of the words of the Gemara. Hecha de'ika proti yisei, where you have multiple examples, like in our case. Kol chad v'chad marbi ke'en didei, each one has the power to include something else like it. V'lo darshinan kulu bahadi hadodi, we don't look at the list of animals in a composite fashion, delevi ke'ein haprat, to say that whatever other animal we're going to include has to be like this group of animals. The salmo, ke'ein haprat de salmo, l'rabois balei chayim she'ein avesim etame. Let me read that line again. I didn't punctuate it accurately. Second line from the top at the end, v'lo darshinon kulu bahadi adodi, we don't view all of the examples in one composite formation, deleve keina prat de salmo, to allow the example of the dress, le rabbi's balechaim she'en avesim etame. to enable it to serve to include animals that are not metame, their carcasses are not metamic nemor lekamon. Kidetoni de Bechizkia, as we will see later in the teaching of Bechizkia, Shodi Shor Bein Himotse Letimotse, Shodi Hamor Bein Himotse Letimotse. This is an example of a pasuk that has multiple examples in it, and each example is isolated and placed between the general expressions. Alma kochad v'chad b'api nafshei midrash. So each one is darshaned on its own, so that Salmo has a role, but it's not here to be darshaned together with as an example along with the other animals to then extend ourselves to include things that are not metame b'magav masa. Not so. We look at each animal in isolation and say, well, I'm going to include things like each one of the animals, and as you go through each one, shor, hamor, and se, none of them are similar to ophos, meaning each one of them is metame b'magav masa. Birds not, so birds are just unlike anything found in this pasuk. We have a triangle scheme of marking, whose direction will be alternating. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Mivneh structural note, which reads, Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give-and-take style. With the point facing up is a tshuva as a response. The inverted triangle represents a question. Let's continue in the Gemara. Second line from the top. In Cain, if it's so that we are really going to exclude birds from Kefel, Nichtoiv Rachmono Chad Proto, then let the Torah have written just one example. And I'll say, the example cited is Metame, it's Nevelis Metame B'magav Masa, and that's what we'll be able to include, things like that, not birds. The Gemara says, that's not a suggestion. Hey, Nichtoiv Rachmono. Which one example should I choose? You notice we have a bracketed section. In the brackets, we're going to say that the Torah couldn't get away with writing just one example. So to tell me that birds are included because of the multiple examples, that's simply not true. The multiple examples have to be stated for another reason. That's in the brackets. If we skip the brackets for a moment, we explain now a response, and we say Amri im Kain Nichtoiv Rachmono Shor v'Chamor. If birds were really to be excluded, granted we need multiple examples, but let the Torah write just Shor and Chamor. Selam Ali. Why does the Torah add that example? It seems extra. So we say, Shmamina Asuyofos, that then would come to include birds. Before we go further, let's go back over the Gemara. Let's start from the second line from the top. In Cain, if it's so that birds are not included, Nichtav Rechmona Chad Proto, let the Torah write just one example. The multiple examples show us that birds are also included. The Gemara says, well, hey, Nichtov Rachmona, in your suggestion, let the Torah write just one example. Which one example could the Torah have written? E kosav Rachmona, shor, had the Torah written just ox? Hav amin, I would have thought that kefil has relevance. Korev v'gabi mizbeach in, things that are suitable as sacrifices, like an ox. Yeah, they would generate kefil. Shein korev l'mizbeach lo. Animals that you don't offer on the altar as a sacrifice would not generate kefel. Right? And we know that that's not so. We're not limiting the kefel to korev legami mizbeach. That's what would have been had I written just shor. So we need to have another example to be able to extend kefel beyond that. V'yikos rachmona chamor, and if the Torah had written just chamor, havi amina, Kadosh b'v'chora in, Shein Kadosh b'v'chora lo, only animals that have sanctity as firstborns, which is characteristic of a chamor, but let's say deer or horses that are stolen, those are animals that their firstborn does not have sanctity. So if I had just chamor written, I would not know that there's kefo that's relevant to a stolen horse. So the multiple examples are not here to include ophos. So at this point, I would say that ophos are not included. The Gemara answers, Amri, im, this is an answer, why or how we know that ophos are included. Im kain, if the purpose of the examples is to teach me even animals that don't have kedushas bechor, that I gain by having shor, even animals that are not korev lemizbeach, that I gain by citing chamor. So im kain lichtiv rachmona shor v'chamor. Let just two animal examples be cited, and I will have accomplished what we just said. Salam ali. What do I gain by having the sheep mentioned in the list? See, the sheep has the characteristics of both being kadosh b'vechora and being offered on the mizbeach. Well, those elements, those characteristics are already covered by the examples. So why does the Torah add this seeming unnecessary additional example? Shma mina, lasui ofos. It's here to include even birds. Namely, birds are like seh, albeit only in the respect that they are living creatures. They're bali chayim. However, it's not like the seh in two other aspects. There's no kedushas b'chora, and as far as the defilement of the nevela, the birds are different. The Gemara says, okay, I grant you that seh is coming to include, but does that mean we're going to include all birds? And here we have a question, last a few lines. Let us say that we'll include kosher variety birds that are similar to seh in the sense that the concept of defilement applies to both. Now, the type of defilement is different. The nature of the defilement is different, but defilement, nevertheless, is applicable to ofos tahorim, a dead chicken, for example. Kosher variety bird that you find dead. If someone eats that, we saw an expression in the Gemara, metame begodim, abes ablio, that upon eating it, upon swallowing dead chicken flesh, the clothing that the person is wearing, the individual becomes tame, as well as the clothing upon him. That's unique to kosher variety dead birds. So you see an element of tumah, and by seh, you also have tumah. It's different there. Seh is through contact or through supporting. But maybe when we include birds, I'll limit it to oifes torim, avol oifes tameim, the less behu tumah, but unkosher variety birds that have no... they don't generate any defilement. They don't communicate tuma to someone who swallows, let us say, dead ostrich meat. His clothing don't become defiled. So how do I know to include a stolen ostrich, a stolen bald-headed eagle will generate a kefel payment? So the Gemara answers, Kol Ribuihu. Up till now, we were evaluating what to include in our din of kefel, in our law of kefel, by virtue of a klal prat uklal method of analysis. Here, we have a big turnaround. We're saying, no, we're going to evaluate the pasuk in terms of a ribui. Ribui, instead of referring to the general statement as a klal, as a general statement, we're going to refer to it, the word kol. The pasuk said, I'll kol dvar pesha, by using the term ribui, inclusive. the power of inclusion when you have a ribui type drosha is has greater power of inclusion than a klal prat uklal approach to a verse. So in our pasuk, I'll call dvar pesha, the kol ribui, and that will serve to include even oifos tameim. Question. Notice we have a long question mark. And by the way, this question we've seen fairly recently in its entirety back on daf nun dalid. The kol hecha dekosav kol ribui hu, where the word kol appears, does that mean we're inclusive? Broadly inclusive, ahagabi meiser dichtiv kol. We find by the law of meiser sheni. Meiser sheni is the tithe, 10% of a person's produce that he separates on the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the 7-year sabbatical cycle. That 10% he either brings to Jerusalem to eat there, or he redeems it onto cash and takes the cash and buys food in Jerusalem. What kind of food is he entitled to buy? So that is the subject of the following drosha. So we have the word kol by meiser sheni v'kodarshina le'v'klalu prat, and the exposition of the verse is through the klalu prat method, the sanya, and here it is. V'nosato hakesef b'chol asher tave nafshecha. So here we dash on the word b'chol and say, the pasuk says, you shall use the money for whatever you desire. Klal, that's a general statement. Whatever you desire. Ba'bokur v'tzon, b'yayinu v'shechar, prat. Here the pasuk enumerates cattle, sheep, wine, and beer. Those are prat, examples. V'b'chol asher tish'alcha nafshecha, the pasuk goes on to say that. Chazav v'kol, that's a general statement. Klal u'pratu klal, i'atodon elokeina prat. When you have a configuration like this, you can expand to include things that are similar to the prat, to the examples. Ma prat mefurosh, what, just like the prat, the examples of boker tzon, yayin v'shecher are pre-mipri. They develop, they come forth from a predecessor, whether it be an animal giving birth to its offspring or a seed giving producing fruits, that's pre-mipri, u'gidule karka, something whose sustenance is from the ground, animals, food source is from the ground, and plants sprout forth from the ground. So those are the characteristics of the prats, of the examples here. Of kol, so too, anything you want to include has to have those characteristics, pre-mipri-gidule karka. Okay, and you know what? We'll exclude, based on pre-mipri, you cannot buy bottled water, because water is not something that comes from previous water. We'll exclude salt, mushrooms, and truffles. And gidule karka will exclude fish. You can't buy, with your meiser sheni money, fish to eat in Jerusalem. That's the end of the question, though. What is the point? We said before, in order to include unkosher variety birds that are stolen that you should pay kefel, we will rely on the word kol to be a ribui. But here we have a drosha concerning meiser sheni, and the kol doesn't function as a ribui. The Gemara answers, Amri, ba kol klola. Kol ribui hu. There's a difference between the two psukim. The pasuk by Kefel, it said, I'll call Devar Pesha. The Pasuk by Meiser Sheni said, Bichol Asher Tave Nafshecha. The word Bakol indicates a klal. The word Kol, like we have by Kefel, indicates Ribui. The Eboy Esema, another approach, Kol Klolahu. In general, the word Kol also is a klal fashion. Miu Kol Dehacha. However, the kol over here by Kefel, ribui hu. It serves as a ribui. And now the Gemara proves that. I should have pointed out that here we have a long answer marking. So we have one train of thought to show how kol, al kol dvar pesha, the pasuk by Kefel, is a ribui. Michti, ksiv mei korah, initially, when you looked at the psukim, and we had read the psukim earlier, you can refer back to them where on the in the margin where we read pasuk vav. So let me read that again. Meikora initially klal upratu klal dichtiv. That section of psukim opens up with a klal pratu klal. It said ki tein ish el reyehu. When you entrust something by your friend, that's what are you entrusting? Well, anything klal. That's a general statement. Then the pasuk went on to details. Kesef o kelim prat. Then it said lishmor to watch. General hadar v'kolal. The insal kadaitoch hai al kol dvar pesha nami lichlal uprat hu daasa. If you think that pasuk ches, which had the shor, the hamor, the sen, the salmo in it, is also to be viewed in the klal uprat fashion. Nichtav rachmona lahani prati gabi. Heich klal uprat. Then put these examples, and we mentioned earlier each one has value, but put each one of them in pasuk vav, which was already a klal uprat uklal setup. Al kol dvar pesha lomali. What do I need pasuk ches for? Shma mino ribuihu. So the expression of al kol dvar pesha is here to do something more than we had thought before. It's a riboy. Hashtadam is kol riboy. Now that you're saying that kol that you have by kefel is highly inclusive, kol hani proti lomali. What's the function of the proti? We had shor, chamor, se, and salmo. What is their purpose? Well, their purpose now doesn't serve to include other things, but is actually exclusive. Chad limute karka. One excludes land. V'chad limute avodim. One is to exclude from kefel slaves that are stolen. V'chad limute shtoros. One excludes documents that are stolen. Salmo, the word salmo, limute dovar she'eno misuyam. Rashi at the bottom line says that, let's say, in contrast to a salmo, which Rashi says three lines from bottom, yesh lo simonim, it has identification marks on it. An article of clothing, generally speaking, can be identified to the exclusion of something that the owner has no identification marks. There, on an item like that, there won't be any kefel. So, salmo, limute dover, she'enu misuyam. The expression al kol aveda, which we also saw in pasuk ches, what does that do? Reb Chiya bar Abba, it's for his teaching. The Amar Reb Chiya bar Abba and Reb Yochanan, hatoyin taines ganov beaveda, a shomer that was in shomer chinam that was watching something, and he claims. Let me correct myself. Someone is watching a lost item. He's a watchman of a lost item. And he claims that the item was stolen. So he's tain tainas ganov. He claims theft baveda on a lost article that he happened to find and was watching, and he claims, well, after I found it, it was stolen from me, and it turns out that he made off with it himself. Mishalem tashlume kefel. He too will have to pay kefel. In addition to, we mentioned a shomer chinom pays kefel, a shomer aveda also will pay kefel. Shenemar, al kol aveda asher yomar. That here we are coming to include the shomer aveda as being chayav in kefel. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.